Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
To the Muslim world, we seek a new way forward based on mutual interest and mutual respect. To those leaders around the globe who seek to sow conflict or blame their society's ills on the West, know that your people will judge you on what you can build, not what you destroy.
And this just in from the Associated Press, at the request of President Obama, a judge at the Guantanamo Bay Naval Base has suspended the 9/11 war crimes trial of several suspects, despite objections by defendants who said they want martyrdom. So President Obama asking a judge at Gitmo to stop. The Obama administration does not like that entire Bush Guantanamo base war crimes tribunal system. He asked the judge to stop. The judge has stopped several people's trials already this morning, and AP reporting that this one, with respect to people who allegedly had something to do with planning 9/11, objecting to the suspension, saying that they want martyrdom. So day one of the Obama administration, and change going to come, change is coming. And the whole Muslim world saw President Obama address them directly yesterday. As we've been talking about, the inaugural address does seem to signal a major shift in the U.S. approach to everything, including foreign policy. So we want to hear about how the speech was received in the Muslim world. Joining me now, Andy Bayuni, chief editor of the Jakarta Post in Jakarta, Indonesia. That's the country with the world's largest Muslim population other than India. And Fawaz Jurjes, professor of Middle East and International Affairs Studies at Sarah Lawrence College. Welcome back to WNYC, Fawaz. And Andy Bayuni, hello from New York.
Hello.
Hello from Jakarta.
Andy Bayuni, were people as glued to their TVs in Jakarta as they were in the United States yesterday?
Well, definitely. Jakarta is 12 hours ahead of New York, but people stayed up until well past midnight. So when it was noon and Obama was taking his oath, people were still up here and people were watching, fascinated by the whole process, and also, of course, the Indonesians feel a special connection with Obama because he spent 4 years of his childhood here in Jakarta going to school with Indonesians.
Fawaz Jurjes, what do you make of this Guantanamo news this morning?
Well, I think great news. Of course, he promised during his presidential campaign, and I think he is signaling that he's going to deliver. Not only this is the most recent piece of news, Brian, in the last few hours, the first call that Barack Obama has made as president of the United States was to Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas this morning. And he told them specifically that this is my first call and to signal that I am deeply interested in basically reaching a durable peace, as President Obama said to Mahmoud Abbas. And this is, I think, consistent with Barack's Obama, decision to really focus on this particular area of the world that really, as you know, it's one of the most important areas for the United States, given the fact that we're involved in two major wars and there's so much at stake in this particular area.
What about that clip that we played? To the Muslim world, we seek a new way forward based on mutual interest and mutual respect. To those leaders around the globe who seek to sow conflict or blame their society's ills on the West, know that your people will judge you on what you can build, not what you can destroy. I mean, if you just read the words on the page, they really sound very similar to what President Bush always said.
Well, really, not really, Brian. I mean, I think the way sentences were interpreted in the Arab world and the Muslim world. By the way, the top leading satellite television stations in the Arab world, Al Jazeera, Future Television, LBC, it was almost 4 hours of live coverage of the inauguration. In fact, some anti-American voices complained that the inauguration received tremendous coverage in the Arab world. His statements of the so-called the new approach to the Muslim world was positively received by opinion makers and clerics. In fact, almost 40 of the top and leading clerics in the Muslim world basically sent a letter yesterday to Barack Obama saying that his election and inauguration hopefully represents a new chapter in relations between the United States and the Muslim world, and they believe that the United States, by electing a president, a black president with African roots and Muslim roots, basically holds a key to improving relations with the Muslim world. And they focus specifically, ironically, the letter by the top 40 clerics and opinion makers focused on the Guantanamo Bay prison and on the Palestinian-Israeli conflict and Iraq and Afghanistan. And here President Barack Obama now basically signals that he is trying to do something about both those particular issues.
And reactions to the speech, listeners, from any Muslims in our audience, American Muslims, Muslim Americans, immigrants from any Muslim land, anybody listening on the web right now in Iran or Egypt or wherever you happen to be, call us. The president did address Muslims directly and by name in the speech several times. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And here's another instance in which he did.
To those who cling to power through corruption and deceit and the silencing of dissent, know that you are on the wrong side of history, but that we will extend a hand if you are willing to unclench your fist.
We will extend a hand if you are willing to unclench your fist. Speaking to radicals and speaking to oppressive governments, corrupt governments around the world, in the Muslim world in particular. Muslims, 212-433-9692. And back to Endi Bayuni from the Jakarta Post in Jakarta, Indonesia. Endi, the people who you've covered, and for you yourself, if you'd like, what's the reaction to the earlier clip we played, that to the Muslim world we seek a new way forward based on mutual interest and mutual respect, etc.?
Well, I think that the response has been very positive. I mean, it's a very conciliatory approach compared to the previous approach of President Bush, which is more, you know, confrontative, put it that way. So this is more, you know, saying that let's work together. And early on in the speech, he also mentioned that America is a nation comprising of Christians, Muslims, Jews, Hindus and non-believers, and I think that's also a sign that America is, you know, it's a multicultural, multi-religious society, and Islam is recognized there. So it's not a division between America and the Muslim world, because within American society there, you have a size of a community of Muslims there.
By the way, Endi, I apologize for making a mistake on which country has the largest Muslim population in the world. It is your country, Indonesia.
Absolutely.
I had thought that there were more Muslims, even as a minority, in India, but it turns out, after a number of people corrected me, that India has the second most Muslims in the world. Indonesia is the largest Muslim population country in the world. Fawaz, you wanted to say?
Yes, and Brian, here is the difference between Barack Obama and George W. Bush. I think Barack Obama is absolutely correct to say that those dictators who oppress their population, their citizens, who basically deny them their human rights, basically will not be received positively by the United States. But at the same time, what did he say? He had a follow-up and he said, we will extend a hand to those people who are willing to revisit their positions, meaning Iran and other states. And this is really, Brian, goes to the very heart of the new nuanced and complex approach, basically, that will be pursued by Barack Obama. It's not just using basically hyper-militarism and threats, but rather also talking about diplomacy and dialogue and an inclusive approach in international relations.
Bazad in Babylon. You're on WNYC. Bazad, hello.
Good. How are you? Thank you for taking my call. One line in Obama's speech was that it was interesting, and that was he said, we're going to defeat you. I wish I could put it at, we're going to defeat you with our idea, not with our military power, because when it's defeating something with an idea is a permanent. And you look at, you know, Eastern Europe and look at the Soviet Union. We defeat them with their idea. Now we defeat them with the military. And you see the permanent change. But defeating with the military is a it's very quick change.
And Behzad, you're from Iran originally,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Do you think we can defeat the mullahs with American ideas?
We can. Yeah, Iran is probably one of the most westernized country in the Middle East. It's more pro-American than any other country probably in the Middle East. But I think we can do that. We
in
can
the
do
population.
It with our idea, not with the military power. Yeah. I think that's much more permanent work.
What do
and
you
it's
make
opening
of
a dialogue,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Behzad and Fawaz, I want to know your reaction too. What do you make of the pictures that are already circulating today of Iranian students in Tehran burning a picture of Barack Obama outside the U.S. Embassy? Apparently not everybody was impressed.
Oh, no. Nobody's impressed with that. I'm sure there are some people, they do something like this. But it's not really the most Iranian
not
feeling. It's not at
right.
all, no.
Thank you very much.
Fawaz? Yes, on this particular point, I have just returned from the Middle East. And I am always, it's surprising, Brian, to see quite a few young Muslims in Syria and Egypt and Lebanon wearing Barack Obama T-shirts. And I think in Iran in particular, I would argue this is basically, in Iran in particular, some of the most pro-American sentiments exist among the young people in Iran, unlike other Arab countries. And I think what you've seen today on television stations basically is more of a governmental orchestrated operation in order to send a message to Barack Obama. The Iranians are extremely nervous and anxious, Brian. They're anxious that Barack Obama would follow a similar policy to that of W. Bush, basically changing the tactics as opposed to a dramatic radical shift in the American approach to Iran. And they're trying to send Barack Obama, listen, we are prepared for you, and popular sentiment is on our side, outside the country.
And so he spoke to peoples of the world and to governments of the world.
And so to all the other peoples and governments who are watching today, from the grandest capitals to the small village where my father was born, know that America is a friend of each nation and every man, woman, and child who seeks a future of peace and dignity. And we are ready to lead once more.
Mohammed in Patterson, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mohammed.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm extremely delighted to be on WNYC. Great show.
Thank you.
I do outreach, actually, at an Islamic center here in Patterson. And I'm delighted that for the first time in the longest time in American history that Muslims are not referred to as Muslim terrorists, but a lot more as Muslim nations with mutual respect and mutual interest. And I think that's a step forward in the right direction and probably a renewing history that has had a great deal of dialogue between Muslim, Christian, and Jews. And I think that's extremely fantastic.
Mohammed, thank you. Frank in Hillside, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Frank.
Thanks, Brian, for taking my call. Basically, I'm calling in support of what most other callers have said, especially for African leaders. And I understand there were a lot of African leaders that attended this conference, Obama's inaugural. They should realize that time for African leaders who cling to power by corruption and by intimidation, that time is over. And I think Obama should also continue to send a very strong message to especially these leaders in Nigeria, Nigeria, Cameroon, Gabon, Central African Republic, Equatorial Guinea, all these
Zimbabwe.
Little African states, and even the major African states where the leaders are simply corrupt mm-hmm. and they simply cling to power by simply intimidating their people, that their time is up. That's basically my comment.
Frank, thank you very much. And Murat in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Murat.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, I'm really happy. Finally, we have a president that could intellectually and culturally could fulfill the mosaic that we have in the United States of America.
And where are you from originally?
I'm from Istanbul, Turkey.
Uh-huh.
But I'm a proud American. And I have my family here now and work and live in New York and Brooklyn, Park Slope. And I'm just delighted, and as we speak, I get the goosebumps because, I'm actually politically moved in the United States for the first time in a positive way rather than, being angry about what's going on.
And when Obama said in the clip that we played that we are ready to lead once more after the Bush years and all the global resentment toward the U.S., even before that, do they want the U.S. to lead in Turkey? Do they want the U.S. to lead in Egypt? Do they want the U.S. to lead?
You know, I can confidently say, as I was growing up, I'm 37 now, you know, everybody looked to the United States of America because I heard from my grandparents how the Marshall Aid helped and how they drove to work and back with all the aid that was sent from U.S.
So positive U.S. leadership is desired, you're saying. And Fawaz, I'll give you the last word for today on that question.
You know, Brian, the expectations are too high, and so with the letdown. I think we need to keep in mind that the rhetoric is wonderful. It's a great beginning. I think the world is excited. And yes, I think there's a great deal of attraction towards America and fascination with America. And American leadership does not terrify the world. But the last 8 years, Brian, have done a great deal of damage to America standing in the world. And many people now are waiting to see if Barack Obama would translate his inclusive and humanist rhetoric into concrete policies that
the
not
last
only basically
word for today, and we have to leave it there. From Professor of Middle East and International Affairs at Sarah Lawrence College, Fawaz Georges. Thanks for listening, everyone. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.